Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to read a portion of a gospel here that quotes Jesus and some dialogue and the background of what's happening. And this you're going to be familiar with this, even if you're here and say, I don't really know that much about the Bible, I don't know the Lord real well. You will have heard this because it's in Matthew 14 where Jesus shows up and is walking on top of the water. And so it says this. Now, this is after Jesus does a miracle and feeds 5,000 men plus women and children. So that just ends. His disciples, he sends them off in the boat. So immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Bit of a storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Say, in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Say, "Do not be afraid." And Peter answered the Lord. And he says to him, "Command me to come to you on the water." Jesus replies and says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Imagine that. Only water I've walked on is if it rains. That's about it. Peter gets out, and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he, Peter, saw the wind, the waves, he was afraid. Say, afraid. Afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him. "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's amazing that we read things like this in the scripture, and you know, we try to interject how we might feel or if we were there, and we're supposed to do that because these are words of life for us in our life now. But we look at that, and you know, can you imagine walking on water? Something impossible according to nature. The natural laws that God made, of course, he transcends because he's the creator. And so against goes against natural law, and you know, we look at like, can you imagine? Oh, yeah. Oh, I would have loved to do that. I would love to walk on water. I'd love to have that experience. The interesting thing is, we want to experience the miracle of walking on water, and yet we can't walk and do what's possible. We want to experience the walk in impossibility, and yet we struggle to walk and do what's possible, like going out to the kitchen and lending a hand. Do we make that walk? See, that's possible to do that walk. We're going to work our way through some things here. and I'm going to share with you what I believe the Lord would say to us in our life when we face circumstances of impossibility and what fear does to us and what obedience will produce to the point that you will walk on top of your impossibilities. Amen. Fear does several things to us. Living in a state of fear, like we can have a brief moment like, oh, right? A little bit of fight or flight goes off and we, you know, see something happen to our kid. But this living in a state of fear, in a state of anxiety, where you might get these breaks, but you just kind of live in a mindset throughout your life of if you're anxious for things and you have some fears, and you know, we all have little brief bouts with those things and overcome, but for some, anxiety and fear, which we don't like to admit, most of us, it's like, no, I got this, no problem, you know, the outside's all cool and everything, but inside, you know, it starts to take its toll on us in body and in soul, and even in our spiritual walk. And so you see these commands where Jesus says, don't be afraid. Why were you afraid? Why did you doubt? We sang some choruses this morning that talk about there's nothing that the Lord can't do. And that we trust Him. And those are great phrases, and we should sing those things and declare those things. We should read those things, memorize those things. But the moment where it really matters is when we encounter life, yes, and that's tested. Yeah. I want you to know that fear in this context is not your friend. Now, we know that healthy fear, and we're not talking about healthy fear, we're talking about the detriment of unhealthy fear this morning. Okay, there's healthy fear. The stove is hot. The ring is glowing red. I have a healthy fear not to put my hand on there. Okay? That's not the kind of fear we're talking about. We're talking about fear and what its impact on us and the anxiety that we may carry that partners. You know, fear and anxiety, they're kind of traveling companions. They hold hands. They are not far from each other. So as we look at the impact of fear, and here the Lord is saying, don't be afraid. You know, why did you doubt? He saw the effects of the wind and the waves, and now he no longer walked on top of his impossibilities. That's what fear will do to us. It has an effect on us physically. You know, it starts to weaken our, because we're so intricately made. We're so woven together the way the Lord has made us. And when things are not right in our soul, in our thinking, in our attitude, whatever's going on, it affects our whole being, right? It does. It affects our whole being, including physically. And it can show up in a variety of ways, and the intensity of this can vary depending on the person and how long they carry the fear, anxiety, or whatever it is. But you know, it starts to turn into a loss of sleep, then you're fatigued, you can get high blood pressure. They relate some of this to cardiovascular issues. Not that every cardiovascular issue is related to this, but these are things that it kind of can lead to in our life. It leads to eating disorders, ulcers. You know, it has an effect on us physically. Fear does. Anxiety does. And the Lord just says, don't be afraid. And it wasn't just don't be afraid in the moment. It's that unhealthy fear does you no favors. Amen. Unnecessary anxiety because of how we think or perceive things, it does not do us any favors. Fear places it places us in bondage. You ever notice that when you are afraid of something or fearful of something, it prevents you from moving ahead? Amen. It keeps you bound up. You're not going to step out. You're not going to move ahead because you have an unhealthy anxiety or fear that you would rather just run away and hide somewhere or not be around whatever it is that faces you. And sometimes we can have a choice with things and a healthy fear, which is good, but the unhealthy things, it causes us and it locks us up inside. This is what it'll do to us. And what happens is all dark possibilities, when we deal with this, all dark possibilities flood our mind. Amen. We get anxious or fearful. It's like every worst dark possibility somehow becomes this reality in our mind and our soul. We make the wind greater than it is. We make the waves bigger than they are. And what if, and what if, and probably, and well, you know, I just can't catch a break, or I just can't, this doesn't seem to, and we just go through, and we just, man, it just takes us over in our minds, and it prevents us, here's the thing, it prevents us from hearing anything uplifting. Which is this. I mean, and you've experienced this, but you know, I meet with people all the time for a lot of years. And there are people that I've had conversations with, I've not counted, but they're, in my mind, they're countless. They come and they share a very real issue to them. And I don't belittle that issue, whatever it is they face. But when I begin, when the conversation is the point where now I can encourage, share a truth or perspective, how to look, possibly look at that in their life based upon him and his word and share it, and it's like, it's that moment where it's like I want to go, and ta-da, you know, hey, this is it. And their response is, yeah, but, and then they go on off again in another dark possibility. It's to the point where fear and anxiety and all the dark possibilities that we sometimes see begins to prevent us to hear anything that would bring light and life and an open door and a light at the end of what they think is this long dark tunnel, and they just will not hear it. Has that ever happened to you? Where you just shut down the uplifting things? I don't mean false things. I don't mean just like, you know, some fluff to try to make them feel better. No, no. We're talking about real answers to real issues of life. Fear paralyzes us from being fruitful, and it robs us of our time in the present because we are living locked up into whatever this fear or anxiety is, the thing that's about to unfold, the thing that is unfolding, the thing that unfolded and now the ramifications of it, whatever it is in our life. Fear, anxiety, I want you to know that when we give that the opportunity, it will manipulate you. We all say, I don't want to be manipulated. We've all been manipulated or felt like it, or it happened somewhere, and now everybody's trying to manipulate us, you know, in our minds and whatever's going on. But I want you to know that fear and the apprehensions of fear and the fruit of fear and the anxiety, it will manipulate us. And the way that it manipulates us is that we distort. We distort the information. Now, we think we got all the truth. This is what happened. This is what said. This is the events that took place. This is how I felt. This is, you know, my perspective on it. And therefore, we just feel like we have the whole truth about it. And that's what we, you know, feed on. And all of a sudden, the facts get distorted, and we lose our ability to assess the truth and assess life. And how do we move forward from this? And how do we assess this? Because when we get it distorted, we lose the ability to be able to do what is called critical thinking. And I don't mean critical like negative. It means looking at something, and it's very critical, it is very important, and I have to be able to critique this and break this out. I want you to know that fear, anxiety, will cause us to distort that thing, and we lose our ability to see and think clearly. That's what fear will do. When we're not rooted in this, God's Word, I want you to hear this, when we're not rooted in God's Word, the present drama in our life, the fear that unfolds that we have, begins to rule over us. And we get this perspective in our thinking that we forget about Romans 8:18, that our struggles are momentary. Our struggles are momentary. We think this is it. This is the way it is, and this is big, and how can it be fixed, and this is what happened, this is what I feel. And our feelings start to steer us, and they are the slaves to the master of fear. Yeah. When we're rooted in God's Word, it's different. That's why important we read this. I'm not a reader. Then listen to it. On a Bible app, whatever it is, have somebody read it to you and learn to read yourself. Turn to a couple people around you and say, you know, you should really read God's Word. Go ahead and say, you should really read God's Word. Not in a judgmental way. They are speaking God's Word life to you. You should really read the Bible. Ultimately, when you and I let worry take over and anxiety take over, ultimately, that is disobedience. Now, we might feel at the moment the response, that human response with fear and anxiety, but when we let that start to do these other things in our life, I want you to hear this. This is disobedience in our life to the Lord. Because we know His command of don't be afraid, and don't worry, and perfect love casts out all fear, and that He is with us. We start to lose sight of that, and it's really disobedience. What happens is we start to choose to live life according to what we think and what may please us. I choose to start living according to Randy in which is in conflict, it contradicts my declaration of faith when I remember what God has said and what God has done. See, if I take a moment and bring Him, and He is what He says, and He is what He has done, and I bring Him into my soul, my thinking, my emotions, and look at life and what is before me, now I start thinking clear. He starts steering me. I begin to choose to do things according to His word, His way, His leading, not Randy's, which is subject to anxiety or fear. And so, who am I going to obey? Who is going to be my master? That's the question. You can't do both, right? And so we decide to choose from our perspective how to live, and what it does is it impedes our spiritual development. And years can go by. We just keep going through life. And we keep coming to church, and we keep, you know, we shed a tear from time to time. We feel the Lord's presence. We lift our hands. We may tithe. We may give to missions. We may volunteer. We do these things. We, you know, but in our personal life, the fears and the anxieties that somehow linger and we struggle with, and we pray about it, but we never move to change our mind to the point that we cause ourselves to obey His instruction and His leading. We still rely on our perspective, and God understands me, and He knows what I went through, and therefore, you know, it's the old, I got license to stay like this. And yet He says, don't fear. Don't be anxious. Because He knows what those things do to us. Here's the other thing that it does. When we fuel or feed our fears and keep going over and thinking about it and justifying it and just and keep carrying it on and keep doing this and our anxiety and we go, oh, it just takes me over, and I want you to know that leads us further from Him. One moment, Peter is coming to the Lord on the water, and he saw the effects of the wind and the waves, and he was afraid. At that moment, he was no longer walking on top of the impossibility. The impossibility began to swallow him, and it took him further from Jesus, that he had to say, help, save me, and the Lord had to reach for him. This is what fear and anxiety will do to you and I. And so throughout the scripture, Old Testament, New, don't fret, don't fear. He is with us. He knows how to walk on top of impossibility. And the real beauty is, He has made a way for you and I to walk on top of the impossibilities in our life. If we do not fear and let anxiety and anxiousness overtake us. You think about this in your life. I know you love Him. I know that you're saved. I know that you want to follow Him. I understand that. But there are these places that our perspective on the truth could be so much better when we don't allow fear and doubt and anxiety, things, real things that happened to us in our past, and now that's impacted us in such a way that we have made that more powerful than the life-giving Spirit that can transform us. We don't want that to go that way. We don't want that responsibility, because it causes me to step out of what I have depended upon to keep me from having more hurt, and that is I've embraced fear and anxiety, which just sounds totally backwards, but it's what we do. Rather than embracing the new life, and I can leave me that behind. It's a new life. It'll be a little uncomfortable. It's going to stretch you, right? This is why it stretches you, okay? This is why it stretches you. He calls us to a new life, and we want Him to hang on to us. We want Him to hang on to us. That's what we want. It's right. It's good. But we get stretched when we're still hanging on over here to our fears, our anxieties, using the past as the reason of why I can't totally do this. It's what I want, but I will not discipline myself into the redemptive power of Jesus to set me free. I proclaim it, I cry for it, I weep for it, I want him to hold me, I'm reaching for him, but we will not let go of this. And here's the other part. You got somebody else working against you, the enemy of your soul, and he wants to use that stuff that has hindered you in your spiritual development, in your walk with the Lord, maybe your healing, your deliverance, whatever it is, that rob you of peace, rob you of time, sleep, health, everything, and because he's hanging on to you and now you're stretched. He has authority over him. The question is this, does he have authority over my life? Because that has everything to do with the ability to choose. Let go. Take hold of him. He's still going to reach for you. And he might pull on your shirt. But he is going to take you into the end zone. That's where he's going to take you. I will tell you that one of the keys of walking on top of your impossibilities is learning how to walk in the possible things. I said it earlier. We want to walk on top of the impossible, but we can't even walk out to the kitchen and lend a helping hand. You see, we need to walk with faithfulness in what we can do, that he still helps us with. But these are possible things. It is possible, listen, it is possible for you to make the walk across the factory floor to tell a coworker that you are sorry for what you said and how you treated them. When we start to walk and submit to the Lord in obedience to the walks that we can make, it prepares us for the moment where we want to walk and need to walk on top of our impossibilities instead of letting fear cause us to disobey and rob us from walking on top. This beautiful miracle of Jesus, I can't even walk up the stairs. I just want you to know that I knew you saw that I tripped. This story, we get wrapped up in Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the water and him getting in the boat and then they worship him. And it's true, it's part of the story, but why is it in there? It speaks to the Lord's authority, but he's made a way for you to walk on top of your impossibilities. And when we don't, it's not his fault. We start to look at the circumstance and get intimidated rather than looking at and remembering who he is and his word. That you and I can face the impossibilities in this life. You have faced some very impossible things. And he brought you through. And when you face it again, and some of you have done this multiple times in your life, he's brought you through. It wasn't without pain or difficulty. And part of it was our own doing. No, that was a circumstance. Yeah, but the way we dealt with it, its impact on us, right? He is not a genie in a bottle. You listen to this. He's not a genie in a bottle and you rub it and he comes out and says, I give you three wishes. He's not a three-wish God. He is ever present in the times of trouble. There's nothing impossible for him. And he's made a way for you and I to live this life and for you and I to remember his word and who he is and remember, instead of reacting and depending on your past and all that's had a negative influence on you that has shaped you into who you are, he wants to shape you into who he wants you to be. And he wants you and I to get free of ourself, to allow his spirit to lead us and help us and be a testimony of him, right? A changed life. It's the most powerful testimony that you and I can give to people, is to seeing the transformation that Christ brings to our life. Amen. See, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's a walking, living miracle. Fear, anxiety, it will prevent from his light, the light of who he is, to shine brightly into your life. We need to walk the walk of obedience to him, because we will eliminate the roots of living in a state of fear and anxiety when we walk on top of what is possible, so that when impossibility comes, we will know how to follow him already. Right? We've lived a submitted life to him and what's possible, and we've made those walks. Down the hallway, to the kitchen, across the factory floor, to your spouse, with your kids, with your parents. You made the walk. To be able to walk and go over to your neighbor who you don't know their name, but you've been looking out your window at them for years. What if they don't like me? And I noticed that, you know, they don't probably live like me, and they're probably not believers, and, you know, they look like this, and they do this, and I notice this, and they make the walk. Make the walk. You and I will never make the walk of impossibility, walk on top of impossibilities, if we don't, in Christ, learn how to walk and do the things that are very possible. That is the testing grounds, the obedient, submitted life that we know that we can count on him. And we will not be distracted. We will walk on top of the distraction of wind and waves and circumstances in our life. Listen, he will always be there to rescue you. He is always there to empower you, to walk on top of your impossibilities that you and I face. And when we fear, he will rescue. But he says, don't be afraid. It's not just a word of encouragement. It's a command. Why don't you stand up, please, all over this room. You know yourself in the moments where you can be really honest with yourself. Now, don't hide stuff from yourself. You know where you get anxious. Sometimes it comes from what we think is a circumstance, the wind or wave. For some, it's that history I had. Parent wasn't good to me. I had a spouse not treat me well. I had friends betray me. You can go on with your list. None of those things are exempt. None of those things get some special classification of excuse. It's not that I'm being hard on you by telling you that. It's that His blood and His will is more powerful than the impact of your past. But He gives us a choice. Will I stay here? Will I hang on while I'm trying to let Jesus take hold of me? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the life He gives is more abundant than the life we live according to ourself rather than according to His will or ways. See, He wants you free. And He doesn't want you spiritually to be dwarfed in your development. He doesn't want it on pause. He doesn't want you to go, well, this is good enough. Fear, unhealthy fear is not your friend. Anxiety is not your friend. It's not a friend to your body or your soul or your spirit. I believe in the gifts of physicians and the knowledge that they have gained and medical staff. I believe in that. I've been doctored. But we also know that they give us things to help us cope. Hope. What we don't want is for you to just cope all of your long life. He came to set free and to be free indeed. You're unclean, go show yourself to the priest. Get the approval, show the proof. Listen, if part of what you deal with in anxiety and you're on medication, don't just take him and throw him away and say, I'm done, Jesus, heal me. Unless he tell you. You show the change, his deliverance or freedom, and you go get the doctor to approve it. Because you're well. And so we remove that. See, he wants you delivered. Whether you're on medication or not on medication, your soul should not be vexed and cursed with fear and anxiety. He doesn't want you to cope. Well, I'm Jesus. I came along. I'll give you a little bit. This should kind of see you through. Now, he wants you and I transformed. He wants you free. Free from your past and its influence on you. Though your mind remembers, you're free from the influence. You can't use it as an excuse anymore. Well, Jesus and I have an agreement. Well, if you agree with this, then yes, you do. But if you agree with some of this, but not all of this, and you want to agree with yourself, that's not an agreement. I want you to be free from fear and anxiety. That is my hope for you. That's my hope. That's my prayer for you. I don't want you crippled. I don't want you crippled. As they say, I want you to love like you've never been hurt, right? Right? I want you to laugh like, I don't know, I don't remember the rest of the quote, but it sounded pretty good. I want you to be free. I don't want you to have any other security blankets other than Him, His Word. It's nice to have the encouragement of each other, but when fear has hold of us, we don't listen to words of encouragement. But when you're free, you receive the words of encouragement. You give words of encouragement, words of life. We want to be that living church.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.